Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. I'm here today talking with Corey Wayne Ogle. He is a real estate advisor, lives up in New York and has worked for years in the New York market. Interesting thing about Corey is he is finally reaching that point in his career that he's able to start becoming a real estate investor himself. One of the advantages he's had is having worked with lots of successful investors before, he knows what to do and what not to do, and he's going to share that with us today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Corey, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Jeff, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Enjoying the nice weather down here, and it looks like you're enjoying the same thing on your end.
Absolutely. This is like the premier spring day here in New York City. It's really nice out.
Outstanding. Well, let's kick it off today. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get where you're at today?
Yeah, so It all started, honestly, when I was in middle school, right? I won't bore you with all the details, but at a very young age, I was very fascinated by architecture and real estate.
Okay.
And my best friend's grandmother owned her own real estate company down in Tennessee. Nice. And I always kind of idolized her, right? Like, she was the woman about town. She was always in this most cheerful mood. She was extremely charismatic. She knew everybody everywhere we went. And I was almost enamored by that, you know, as a child. And, you know, obviously they had nice things too. They had a nicer house than me and my family. They drove nicer cars than me and my family. So at a very young age, I caught this like bug of aspiration.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know,
well, I had a really good role model too. Yeah. As a result. Yeah.
And, but yeah, and then I did the things that we all do. I went to college. I was actually the first person in my family to graduate from University of Tennessee. And after that, I decided, you know, I was kind of done with Knoxville. I didn't see the opportunities there that I really wanted to reach for. And I moved to New York City. I got my real estate license and I started grinding away.
Yeah.
And
just kind of built from there. Yeah.
Yeah. That was back in 2013. You know, I mistakes, I guess you could call it, but I think everything happens for a reason. I'd made some fumbles. I did a few years in professional property management where, you know, I did have that office job from 9 to 5, 9 to 6.
Yeah.
And which was helpful. I learned a lot from it. You know, it was the most professional kind of setting I worked in and kind of gave me a lot of structure around how I run my own real estate business today, which I think gave me the polish I needed to be successful in a forum where there is very little kind of guide to formality and
the real estate agents that I know, I mean, it almost every one of them that has been successful has had that kind of corporate career first before they went out on their own as a real estate agent. Because a lot of these people that, you know, I want to be a realtor because I'm going to make all kinds of money. And then they get out there and then just, you know, they flounder because they have no structure. They don't really understand how to, you know, it's going to require a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of weird hours because you have to be available when everybody else is not at work at that point. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about, I know you are kind of in the transition mode right now of starting to look at now your opportunity to do some investing. Working with, I'm assuming, real estate investors in the past, what are you taking into this kind of new part of your life that you've learned from those successful investors?
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest thing that I've learned is really just to be discerning, right?
Okay.
Like I could, you know, I could have bought properties years ago and made a bad investment and then lost money. But, you know, honestly, I'm not in a position where I can afford to lose money. Like, I have the money to make an investment, but it needs to be a sound investment. And so I'm really diving into the pro formas of every property. I'm really analyzing it on a very conservative basis, and just making sure that I'm not discounting, you know, expenses that are going to come up along the way. And while I'm, you know, like I said, I think everything works out in the end and how it's supposed to work out, but I also don't want to put myself in a position where I'm underwater, right? Like, I'm in a position in my life where I have no debt, you know, beyond student loans, which they tell me is good debt. So I paid every month and let it just ride. But yeah, you know, it's, and I don't want to be in that position, right? So I'm really discerning about the property that I'm looking at and how it's going to give me an ROI. And honestly, I would be happy even if it, it made, you know, $5 a month, right? I just want to have that asset under my name so I can start building wealth for myself and my family.
So tell me a little bit about how you're going about selecting these properties. I mean, I certainly it's beneficial being a realtor to be able to catch all this. But, you know, if somebody else is sitting out there and they're saying, hey, I want to know where to start. How did you kind of start that process of selecting, okay, this is what I'm looking for?
For me right now, it's more about markets where I can afford to get into, right? It's an affordability strategy. But it's also a knowledge-based strategy. I mean, my first market that I was looking at was Syracuse, New York, because you can get a multifamily in Syracuse, New York for $200,000 to $300,000, right? Wow. Relatively low entry point for an investment property. Is that going to be the best property? No, but it's a good entry point for somebody who really wants to do this. And I've looked at a few properties up there and I, you know, thrown my net out and tried to collect contacts that are in the industry or in that vicinity that have the experience. And I think that's another important part to my decision-making, right? I had done the due diligence. I had hired the attorney. I had signed the contract. I was ready to close on this property in Syracuse. And in the 11th hour, you know, I was connected to somebody who lives in Syracuse and invests in the Syracuse market on a regular basis. And they said, while this does look like a great deal, like from your perspective, I can promise you that it's going to be more of a headache than you are believing it's going to be. And, you know, there were other things along the line, along the process that kind of just giving me yellow flags that I was kind of ignoring. But that was one that I really took, you know, to heart. And I pulled out last minute, you know, and I said, you know, that's the due diligence period that I wanted, I needed to go through to know that that wasn't the deal for me. And currently I'm looking in Knoxville, Tennessee, my hometown market, because, you know, it's a market that I know, right? I know where the good areas are. So I'm not going to be, I'm ahead of the curve in that because I know the market, but I don't think that I say that just, I don't think people need to invest in the city they live in, right? I don't live in Knoxville. I know some things about it, but you can also do tons of research, right? Like, we have all these tools now from AI to the, just the basic internet, where you can research markets and find a market that you're comfortable with that meets your kind of budget that you need and can make it work.
Well, I mean, I've done a ton of property investing in the in a little bit of a different style from what you're doing. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever bought anything in the town where I live. Everything, you know, I'm in the process of buying four properties in Northeast Arkansas, and I've never even been to Northeast Arkansas. But I hooked up with a local realtor and I'm like, hey, I need you to swing by. Can you just take some pictures of these three, these four properties for me real quick? And then we'll move forward from there. And I mean, there's always, you can get somebody to run by, you know, if you don't live in the city, hey, just shoot me some photos of it from the outside just so I can see what it looks like and, you know, start from there and move forward. So I just think we live in a different world than we did years ago. I've got a friend that's built an empire in real estate and he lives in Israel. He's never been to the US ever. So,
But to that point that you just said, Jeff, I think it's important to talk about like the benefits of having a buyer's agent, right? Like, in this Syracuse deal, you know, I'm licensed in New York, so I could represent myself as my own agent. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll save, you know, a few percentage points or whatever. And I'll just go direct to the seller's agent, which I did. And she was very helpful, you know, and she sent me the videos. She, you know, kind of told me she was going to help me get tenants right away. But, you know, it's her job to sell the property, right? She's not going to tell me the negative things about the neighborhood that
I didn't know. Yeah, because she doesn't represent you. She represents the seller of the property.
Exactly. So, you know, I might have saved myself a few $1,000 had I just said, okay, well, let me work with a local agent, right? Like you're doing in Arkansas, who knows the neighborhoods, who knows kind of the market a little more and can give me that insider scoop. But, you know, I failed on that and I didn't do that. But now I know.
Okay, save myself a few $1,000s, but that could end up costing you $20,000 if you don't, if you don't do it. So I think it makes complete sense. I mean, I've never shy away from, you know, trying to look at the cheap route because boy, it'll come back every time it comes back and bite. It's real estate is the ultimate Murphy's Law. If you can't, if you expect it to go wrong, it will go wrong even worse. If you don't expect it to go wrong, it'll go wrong. There is never a perfect real estate situation ever. So yeah, makes sense. So what, you know, when you are looking at that property, are you specifically looking at like a duplex? Or are you looking at like a small little fourplex or apartment? Or what type of property are you looking for?
So ideally, I'd love to have a two family.
Okay.
That's why I started in Syracuse, because I can achieve that there. Right now, though, in Knoxville, it's a hot market. I would say probably one of the hottest markets in the country.
Everybody's moving from New York down there. That's why.
Yeah. New York, California, it's insane. And that's really why I didn't look at it initially, because I was like, it's already too hot. So, you know, what I'm looking at there is more of an apartment, right, that I'll probably do short-term rentals out of.
Okay.
And use it as like an Airbnb and try to tap into that market.
Yeah. Another option, this is something we did for a while, we still do a little bit. We do midterm rentals to traveling nurses. It's way easier because, you know, they typically stay for, well, they work 13-week contracts. So you basically have a guaranteed renter for 13 weeks. You don't turn it over constantly like a short-term rental. And
that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of in the middle ground. So you theoretically can make more if you're in a good market in a short-term rental. It's just you turn it over so much that, you know, costs can kind of beat you up. But, you know, I mean, think of nurses. They're the nicest people on the planet. That's kind of the job description.
Traveling nurses make good income too. I know.
Yeah, they make great. Well, and they, a traveling nurse, so they get paid a stipend that's tax-free. So they can use that to pay for rent and stuff like that. So it's guaranteed rent. They're going to pay you no matter what. And they only ask for two things, a clean place to come and a safe place to come. That's it. Anything else, you're good. So if you're in that market and looking around like where hospitals are, that may be a really good, you know, because you're thinking different with a short-term rental. You're thinking, okay, well, they've got to be close to where the touristy areas are and stuff like that. The short or the midterm rental, you can find something that's close to a hospital because that's what they want.
I love that strategy.
Yeah, you'll probably make a lot. I mean, we typically, where I might, you know, with a regular rental, we might be even in today's market with rent, where we may make a few dollars extra, and then, you know, any one thing blows up, you're losing money. We typically will make about $400 to $700 more per month on a short-term rental. You just have to, put the furniture in. It's got to be furnished and everything.
Yeah.
But just a little advice from somebody that's made all the stupid mistakes before then.
So. I love it. That's part of why I'm here.
I think that's a fantastic idea, quite frankly, of, hey, you know the market, you know the area, you grew up there. So, I mean, it's once again, another opportunity to say, hey, if you need something in that market, you probably know a realtor who can help you to go, you know, do some of the beating the bush and all that. What's kind of the 10-year plan for you now with starting with this first investment?
Yeah, I mean, the 10-year plan is just to the Burr model, right? The buy, rent, refinance, repeat. I'm a big listener of these types of podcasts that you do. And there's a few that I listen to that have honestly taught me a lot about real estate investing and how achievable it is, you know?
Yeah. You forgot one R in there. That's the rehab part, which don't do that. Don't do that. Bad idea. Well, cool. So keep building the property empire at that point. And you know, hopefully you reach the point that you want to be in 10 years. Maybe it takes 20. Who knows? At that point, it took us 15 years to get to where we wanted to be. Then we changed models completely, and I could have the model I use now, I could have gotten there in 3 years. So I now kick myself for not realizing it, 15 years ago, the concept didn't exist at the time. So tell us what else is kind of in your world? What are you seeing? I don't know. I don't deal with big real estate markets like New York. What are you seeing in New York? Just did a podcast, like I was telling you before the show, with a buddy of mine here in Austin. And, you know, it's been a little soft here. What's the New York market like right now?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that it's the past few years have been a very, I'll say, volatile. It's, we haven't had a real spring market in a while.
Okay.
And this year was no different. It started out super strong. I put more stuff into contract and sales this first quarter than half of my year last year.
Wow.
So Q1 started off extremely strong for us. And then, you know, we had this war in Iran, and that drove everything to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
People who were really looking were still looking, and they were moving forward, but there was, as far as my business is concerned, no new business coming my way after that started.
Yeah.
But it started off very strong, you know, and what I love about New York is, and being a real estate agent here is, you know, there's no guarantees in being a real estate agent. It's all commission based, and it's all, you know, you eat what you kill.
Yeah.
But because New York is so big, and there's always people coming and there's always people leaving. So there's almost always business, and it's a little bit of a security net for those of us who are active and, you know, out there doing this every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, I think, we're hearing the same thing down here. I mean, it's just people, I don't think we had the first quarter part of it as much. It's been kind of tight in our markets. We've still got, there's still like 500 people a day moving to the Austin area. So I know houses are getting sold. It's just, I think it's a lot softer. I mean, we saw the peak around 2022 as far as the cost of real estate, you know, the peak, and it's been kind of on a gentle decline since then. I'm assuming somewhat similar in your market.
Yeah, I mean, prices have they've been pretty steady lately. Okay. You know, what is really doing well right now is the ultra luxury market, like 5 million and up.
Yeah.
The market, you know, for the lower end stuff, the stuff where people are more affected by the rates, that's the stuff that's really been dragging. And you know, like, first time home buyer here is probably going to spend somewhere between $750,000 to $2 million dollars on their first home. So depending on where they are at financially, those rates really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. The ultra luxury, it's kind of a rounding error in their checkbook to buy some of these properties. So,
yeah.
You're less worried about that. It's just finding the right place and the right deal for them, and that's it.
Exactly.
Cool. Sounds like you are moving in the right direction. Any advice that you have for that person that's stuck right now in the cubicle, or you know, that business owner that's beating their head against the wall and thinks that real estate may be the idea, what's your best advice for them?
I mean, honestly, my best advice is just do your research and look into it, right? Like, I think on paper, or maybe not on paper, but on TV and everything, like real estate looks extremely luxurious and it looks very easy and it looks like you can have the most amazing life. And while I do feel like I have the most amazing life and I'm very blessed, you know, I've been doing this for over 13 years and it's taken me a long time to get to this point.
Yeah.
So it's work, but it's a different kind of work, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people kind of glaze over, is that there's still work that you have to do when you invest in real estate and you work in real estate sales. It's just a different rhythm.
Yeah.
Right. I may not be sitting in an office from 9 to 5. I may be sitting in my backyard right now having this amazing podcast talk with you, but you know, this is still work, right? And this is part mm-hmm. of, this is part of it. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a team now that I work with. I have an cool. admin, and I've got 2 junior agents under me that I coach and mentor. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, like, and still sometimes, like, I'm on vacation and I'm like, calling clients because, yeah. you know, they need me on the phone. I was just in Peru and I was like coming back from Machu Picchu, like texting clients about stuff that we need to do when I get back from Peru. Like,
absolutely.
There's never a real time off, right? Yeah. It's like being, you know, on call 24 hours a day almost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not until you get a real big team, but you're almost always, you're still going to be active as an agent.
You're the main point person if you're running a team. So somebody's going to need you at some point.
Absolutely.
But I do, you know, I do encourage it still. It's been really good to me, and I'm very grateful for what I've accomplished.
Awesome. Well, let's switch gears and talk about the Fast 5 questions now. All right. First question. You wake up in the morning, business is gone. You still have the knowledge in your head. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, a place to live, food and clothing. What are you going to do first?
I'm going to go to AI and I'm going to ask it the best ways to make $1 million.
There you go.
I still do from time to time, but it's, you know.
Yep. That was an interesting thing I did right before I went on vacation recently, where I was like, okay, the AI I use is Claude, but all right, here's what I want to achieve this in my business within 5 years. And next thing it was like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And here's what you got and everything. So
yeah,
it's worth that exercise.
Totally agree.
And much better than it used to be, where we just had to sit there and try and beat our heads against the wall to figure it out. Okay. Second question. What's your biggest business mistake you've ever made?
Oh, my biggest business mistake, not starting a team of my own sooner.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, it's like you start to, even if they're not producing as much as you are, that little extra counts. So, it dissipates things out a little bit.
It totally does. And honestly, I get more fulfillment out of helping them than I thought I would.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think you learn how to do things better when you have to teach somebody else. When you're forced to teach somebody else how to do it, you get really good at understanding, oh, well, here's the steps in the process that I've kind of glazed over the years. And that's why I've always been a fan of teaching, because I learn more just by doing it at that point and teaching people.
Yeah.
All right. What's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
One of my favorite books that I read is The 12-Week Year.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome book. Yes, I love that book. Yeah, that's one of the, if you look back on the shelf behind me, it's one of my I will never give up books ever that sits on that shelf, because I love that. It's such a great book. What's a tool that you use in your business every day?
Instagram.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How do you leverage it?
It's annoying, but it's a necessary evil, I feel, as far as marketing goes. It's I would love to not to have to use it, but it's truly, I get clients from Instagram. That's how people recognize me. That's how people are reminded of me. And it's all part of the marketing, and it's a free place to market myself.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you, I'll have to check out yours, because I work with some other realtors and would love to share, but how do you primarily use it? Are you showing properties on there? Are you giving advice?
I do a variety, right? So okay. I'll do lifestyle stuff. You know, like I mentioned, I just moved into this place and
nice.
It's this backyard has been multiple projects that I've had to do just to get it ready. And yeah. So, you know, I'm posting lifestyle stuff like that about the yard, about living in Manhattan. I do obviously property tours. Everybody loves those. I do some advice videos as well, right? Like why to work with the buyer's agent, how to price your property, things of that nature. So I really try to mix it all in because it's what at least AI, you know, and what other realtors have told me work.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Fantastic. Final question. What is your definition of freedom?
This is a beautiful question. So my definition of freedom is just being able to wake up in the morning and not feel like I am in a panic. You know, like I wake up and I know that everything's going to be okay because I've put a system in place that has taught me or shown me over the years that as long as I execute X, Y, and Z and do what I need to do, I'm going to be fine. Right. Like I may not sell a $5 million home today, but like I've sold enough homes to know that as long as I follow the process that I've created, it's all going to work out.
You'll get the one. Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that is freedom. And, you know, obviously there's all these other like cash and prizes where, you know, I'm sitting on my patio right now talking to you and it's a gorgeous day. And those things come from building out that process and that system, right? Like, yeah. I wouldn't be able to do this without that. So I think people often get, I don't know, bogged down or maybe like they don't want to systematize and they don't want to have a process. But to me, those processes allow me to have freedom.
Yeah. Well, because you can control your day. I mean, that's right. Instead of your day controlling you, you can control your day and say, okay, well, I'm going to set aside X amount of hours to do. I mean, that's same thing for me. I own multiple businesses. You know, yes, could I be doing something other work-wise? But I do this every Tuesday. I block off my afternoon to do podcasts because I enjoy this and I, you know, I get to share your story with the world, which is the whole purpose of this channel is really not, it wasn't to make money on it. It's to really share people's stories and allow me to, you know, jealously, I get to meet new people and introduce myself to people that I would have never known as a result.
Very so cool.
That's the cool part about being a podcaster from that perspective is you get to meet all kinds of great people and I get to control that because I've spent the years building out other businesses and other income streams that, you know, I don't have to make any money from this.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Awesome. Well, Corey, if somebody's interested in getting hold of you, getting in touch with you, maybe is looking to buy real estate in the New York area, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is probably my cell phone number or Instagram, right? Okay. I also have a website. My website is highline2hamptons.com, highline, the number 2hamptons.com. You can find my number there, my email, my socials. It's all available at
we'll
the
just
website.
We'll just have them go right there. We'll put that down in the show notes page so they can find it. And you now have a real estate friend up in the New York area that can help you if you're looking to move into the area. Perfect opportunity to meet with somebody that knows what he's doing in the market and has been doing it for 13 years up there. So Corey, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Excellent. Well, folks, as always, make sure that you reach out to Corey, but also while you're getting ready to reach out, just click on that subscribe button and make sure that you are made aware of all the times that we are putting shows out for you. And we do occasionally put a few little special bonus episodes. And if you are not subscribed, you're not going to know that they exist. Yeah. So thanks a lot. We'll see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.